Zanfu, the organ systems of traditional Chinese medicine, functions, interrelationships, and patterns of disharmony in theory and practice. Author is Jeremy Ross. Chapter 1. Chinese and Western Thought. The greatest difficulty for the Western student of traditional Chinese medicine, or TCM, lies in the tremendous differences between Western and Chinese patterns of thought. Few Western practitioners are aware of the full extent of these differences, and few are prepared to spend time and energy in understanding them. Many practitioners adopt a Western mental approach in dealing with Chinese concepts, or even attempt to force Western concepts into the Chinese system. The resulting mishmash is, by definition, no longer TCM. The more practitioners can leave aside Western preconceptions and styles of thinking, the more they can adopt a Chinese mental approach. This will lead them to a fuller understanding of TCM and to improved results in clinical practice. Pattern of change. The Chinese view the universe as an infinite network of interweaving energy flows. The transient nodes in this ever-changing network representing events in space and time. They view all areas of the network as intercommunicating and interdependent. Any given area only having existence and meaning within the context of the whole. The principle of interrelationship is constant, but the patterns of the relationships are ever-changing. The network is in constant movement and transformation. Within this vast network, this greater pattern, it is possible for men to perceive subsidiary patterns. Indeed, the entire universe can be represented by the 64 hexagrams of transformation of the I Ching. If these basic patterns are thoroughly understood, it's possible to perceive the pattern underlying a particular time and situation, to project back into the past, to show the origins of the pattern, and forward into the future to predict its development. With this understanding, the action appropriate to a particular time and situation can be performed. This has obvious application to medical practice with respect to diagnosis, treatment, prognosis, and the education of the patient. Understanding of the pattern of particular patients in the context of their environment at the particular time gives understanding of their past history and of their future. This is not simply a matter of mysticism, but of standard clinical practice. In Western conception, the word pattern tends to indicate a fixed static structure like a blueprint or mood, contrasting with the Chinese conception of an association of functional relationships. Throughout this book, the word pattern is used in the Chinese conception. Emphasis is above all on movement, not upon set structures existing at a set time, but upon transformations. The structures temporarily generated by the changes are of secondary interest to the changes themselves. Interrelationship. Interrelationship is a recurring theme throughout this book. Nothing exists in isolation. In general terms, it is the interrelationship between the different phenomena within a pattern which is important, and the interrelationship of the different patterns to each other within the context of the whole. In human terms, all depends upon the interrelationships of the different patterns within an individual and of that individual to others and to the natural environment. In terms of the Zhangfu, the interactions of the individual with the environment reflect the interrelationships of the Zhangfu with each other and with the substances, jingluo, or channel, and tissues, within the framework of the body as a whole. Analysis and synthesis. Generally, with some notable exceptions. For example, modern physics and ecology. Western thinking does not tend to look for overall patterns, nor does it tend to look at the whole or at the parts in the context of the whole. Western thought still tends to view events or individuals as discrete particles, very like the balls on a billiard table, interacting only when they collide, and not having any interpretation or intercommunication with each other. Therefore, it is seen as easy and permissible to study one of these particles in isolation form from its environment. Generally, Western research tries to minimize the number of variables and reduces the phenomenon to its simplest elements so that each can be studied separately. In relative terms, Western thinking tends to be reductive and analytic, whereas Chinese thinking tends to be synthetic and intuitive. Where the Chinese attempt synthesis by arranging different phenomena into patterns, at its most simplistic, Western science attempts to reduce phenomena to their simplest possible components, and to relate the different components to each other in linear chains of cause and effect. A corollary of this lies in the attitudes to time. The Western approach arranges events in a linear time sequence, whereas the Chinese think in terms of the synchronous occurrence of the different phenomena that forms a particular pattern. This extreme form of Western thought arose from the same background of Western philosophy and culture that gave rise to classical physics, specifically Newtonian mechanics, the physics of separate particles. In complete contrast to this, the concepts of modern physics give a picture increasingly similar to the Chinese worldview. However, current medicine and technology are still deeply imbued with the old ideas of separate particles and fixed structures, and the concepts of modern physics may take years to filter through the medical science and to Western culture. This problem was aggravated by the mechanization and urbanization consequent upon the Industrial Revolution. This involved a movement away from the patterns of the countryside and the natural world, and an increasing tendency to view man and other living organisms in terms of machines. In its worst aspects, this is associated with the tendency in general theory to separate part from part, and the part from the whole. With the great problems of the modern world associated with the separation of man from his inner self, from his fellow man, and from nature, and with the tendency of medical practice to separate the patient from the disease and from the environment, this approach to medicine tends to view the body as a machine and to treat it accordingly. It sees disease as an external thing that the patient catches by chance, separable from the patient by treatment. Where Chinese synthesis as complete a pattern as possible, Western medicine tends to isolate a single causative factor, that is, to reduce the situation to its simplest possible component. An inevitable corollary to this is that West TCM treats the individual as a whole. Western medicine tends to treat the disease and not the patient. Yin Yang. The concept of Yin Yang forms a recurring theme throughout this book, and it is the basis of Chinese medicine. The Western tendency is to view opposites as absolutes. The words black and white gives this impression. This derives from the tendency to see the world as made up of discrete particles, and from the desire to be as precise as possible. Hence, a situation is either A or B. The Chinese view such phenomena as the two extremes of a continuum. A equal B, or more precisely, A and B is interchangeable. These terms are relative, not black and white. but blacker and whiter. Also, the polarity is never static. It is in continual change, blacker becoming whiter and vice versa. This idea has important ramifications. Energy and matter. In TCM, energy and matter are not seen as separate, but as the two extremes of a continuum. For example, Westerners tend to view qi as energy and xie or blood as matter. The Chinese view it differently. There are denser, more material aspects of qi, just as there are lighter, more energetic aspects of blood. In this book, the word substances is used to include qi, blood, essence, and spirit, and blood bodily fluids, without implications of the relative proportions of energy or matter, yin or yang. Mind and body. Western thinking similarly tends to separate mind from body, and spiritual from material. In TCM, each of the pairs, mind and body, and spirit and matter, is regarded as a continuum. Structure and function. Structure and function represent a further Western dichotomy. Structure being the material framework and function being the results of a flow of energy through that framework. Chinese thought sees structure and function as a continuum and does not distinguish between them. They are not viewed as separate areas, and separate textbook of anatomy and physiology are not a feature of traditional Chinese medicine. Western medicine tends to see everything in terms of structure, from morphology and anatomy down through histology to molecular biochemistry. Function is seen in terms of structure, as is pathology, and diseases tend to refer to structures. Chinese medicine is completely different. It emphasizes function. Little emphasis is placed on structure, especially internal structures. Hence, the Zangfu, the organ systems of TCM, do not refer so much to structure as to functions. Precision and ambiguity. Generally, in dealing with words, concepts, and definitions, Western science aims for precision, involving reduction to the smallest, clearest element. Chinese concepts, however, like Chinese characters or the hexagrams of the Yi Jin, are situational. The meaning depends not just on the words itself, but also on the context, the particular situation of time and place. Chinese concepts also interweave and overlap so that to a Westerner, they may appear vague, imprecise, ambiguous, confusing, and blurred. They are flexible, open to different interpretations, with various shades of meaning depending upon the context. Where the Westerner tries to restrict the meaning, Chinese thought tends to open it up so that it can be linked with as many other patterns as possible. In TCM, this leads to difficulties in translation, especially of the ancient text, to the confusion and irritation of the Western student. It also leads to gross misunderstanding and to innumerable attempts to force Chinese concepts into Western molds, and vice versa. Harmony and disharmony. Western medicine reflects Western thinking in Western society, tending to an aggressive, combative approach in which the disease area is cut, burnt, irradiated, injected, or subjected to other suppressive chemical treatment. Chinese medicine is completely different. The ultimate aim of Chinese philosophy and culture is harmony. Harmony within an individual, within the family, within the state, and between man and the natural world. By recognizing the patterns within nature, and by acting in harmony with them, man not only preserves his health but fulfills himself. The practitioner of TCM is not trying to isolate a disease agent and wage war against it, but to perceive a pattern of disharmony and to treat it in such a way as to help the body itself to restore harmony. Summary: it must be remembered that by contrasting Western and Chinese thought in this rather drastic manner, we are only emphasizing the extremes of a continuum. Both modes of thought contain elements of each other, and this is especially so today, since there has been much recent interchange between the two cultures. Each system has its strengths and weaknesses, and each has developed a particular area of human understanding. The two systems are complementary. However, whereas TCM is basically a complete and finished system based on an ancient text and their commentaries, modern Western medicine is relatively in its infancy. Eventually, as true TCM becomes more thoroughly understood and more accurately applied in the West, and as Western medicine grows and matures over the years, an evolving synthesis will develop both in theory and in practice, but the time for this is not yet. Premature attempts to mix Chinese and Western concepts only lead to confusion, and in the West, to poor understanding and practice of TCM.